Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning and welcome to the program. I'm going to be beginning with an article from Benjamin Krem's master on an environmental theme, and in fact the following article from the September issue of Share International magazine will also carry on that theme. So this firstly article from the master is titled The Earth in Travail, and it reads as follows. It may be said that, at last, some men are beginning to take seriously the dangers posed by global warming and the consequent climate changes that this is bringing about. It is true that there is much disagreement over the reality and extent of the dangers and of the best means of approaching the problems which are agreed to exist. However, there is no doubt that some men, at least, are recognising that men face a formidable task in halting the progress of destruction and in stabilising the environment. It is also true that even the most aware and concerned of men know little of the extent and complexity of the problems. The problem of pollution is such a case. Pollution takes many forms, some obvious and easily dealt with if the will to do so exists. Some, however, require a science and a remedy as yet unknown to man. They are so toxic and destructive that they must be given high priority to overcome. The effect of pollution on the quality of air, food, on animals and on fish, in rivers and the oceans, is known but largely ignored. The most destructive of all, that caused by nuclear radiation, awaits discovery by Earth scientists. The upper levels of nuclear radiation are beyond the present atomic technology. They are also the most toxic and hazardous to man and the lower kingdoms. On all those levels, the problems of pollution must be overcome. This can be achieved only by a complete reconstruction of the present political, economic, and social structures. Man has ravaged and polluted the earth and severely damaged his own environment. Now man must see it as a top priority to remedy what he has hurt and so restore to health his ailing planet. He must learn to simplify his demands on the planet and learn the beauty of simplicity and the joy of sharing. Man has but little choice. The urgency of the task demands immediate action. Few indeed realise the true scale of damage already done. The question may be asked, can planet Earth be saved and by what means? The answer is a resounding yes, and by means which involve the transformation of the present modes of living by the majority of men. The paramount ambition of all so-called developed countries is to achieve an ever higher percentage of growth of their economies to become thereby richer, and in an economic world based on competition to attain dominance and power and so enjoy a higher standard of life. This being so, the pillaging of the earth, the cavalier waste of resources, is seen as only natural and necessary. This irresponsible action has at last brought planet Earth almost to its knees. Maitreya, you can be sure, will not be long in addressing this urgent problem, and in presenting his solutions. The first step he will advocate is the acceptance of the urgency which many today deny. Sharing, he will say, is the beginning of the process of change which will provide the answers to our woes and the rehabilitation of Earth. And that article from Benjamin Cramp's Master was originally published in the November 2007 issue of the magazine. So now we move on to, it's a film review and commentary, and it's part two. It's by a French group member, Dominique Abdenour, and she says in the intro, in this three-part television series, Cyril Dion travels the world meeting people who are working to change the world. The three programs, Resist, Adapt, Regenerate, show the state of the world, the inevitable outcome that awaits us if we don't change course, and above all, the people who are fighting for change by proposing new and original solutions. So part one of this review described the state of the world and how some people are resisting or adapting to climate upheaval. This part focuses on the theme of regenerate and describes how some people are going further to regenerate the Earth and our society. Large portions of the planet could become uninhabitable by the end of the century. And according to Dion, the human race has upset its balance in a very short space of time, and it's up to us to put a restoration plan in place. This involves regenerating and revitalizing the three fundamental ecosystems that are the source of life on Earth, and that is marine life, soils, and forests. It also requires regenerating the economy, social relations, and democracy. The environmentalist and economist Paul Hawkins says, we, in other words humanity, are part of a very broad movement, nameless, non-violent, grassroots, without ideology, without army, without leader. He tries to give this movement a face and a plan in his book titled Drawdown. Written with 70 researchers from a wide range of disciplines, it lists 80 solutions for housing, energy, and transport from among the thousands of existing scientific studies in an ambitious plan for a regenerative economy. The changes need to take place at local and regional levels and in our relationships with others. Beyond this plan, Hawken outlines a radically new world, and here's a quote, regenerative thinking is very simple. Life must be at the centre of all actions and decisions. Is an action in favour of life or against it? In conclusion, he says, climate solutions improve the quality of life for everyone, except perhaps the leaders of some large corporations. One of the most effective actions listed by Drawdown is the restoration of tropical forests by rewilding these parts of the globe and letting nature take its proper place. Dion recalls the most formidable lesson in regeneration, and it was given by a 12-year-old child at the COP16 conference in 2010. Felix Finkbeiner told adults, "It is now time that we work together and combine our forces. One mosquito can do nothing against a rhino, but 1,000 mosquitoes can make a rhino change its direction." Now 21, Felix is in charge of the non-government organisation titled Plant for the Planet, which runs the UN's Billion Tree Campaign, under which 14 billion trees have been planted in 130 countries in programmes run in conjunction with the UN. He sees his mission as twofold: to plant billions of trees and to convince the world to restore the forests. In Brazil, Eduardo Malta Campos has piloted one of the largest reforestation projects in Amazonia. He uses an indigenous technique to regrow tropical forests, a technique that increases planting possibilities tenfold. By sowing seeds of several, and that's up to 80 species of primitive trees and plants in each hole, each species plays its part in synergy with the others to regrow a primitive forest. It is also an opportunity for the elders to pass on their knowledge as they collect the seeds. In Australia, Professor Catherine Lovelock's team of marine ecologists is working to regenerate mangroves by reflooding devastated plantations. Coral reefs are essential to the survival of a million different species, and over 25% of marine life is concentrated around them, and hundreds of millions of people depend on the food they provide. But corals are highly sensitive to changes in water temperature and cannot adapt to a rapid rise of 1 or 2 degrees, which is the temperature change that leads to bleaching and the death of the reef. Also in Australia, Professor Peter Harrison has found a way to restore coral reefs on a large scale using underwater robots. Harrison's team discovered that some corals reproduce during the night after the full moon in late spring in an explosion of vitality, producing thousands of billions of eggs and spermatozoa. The team then captures coral larvae, which they raise for a few days and then release onto degraded bleached coral beds to regenerate them with species that are more resistant to global warming. Fish return within 2 or 3 years, so this action restores both the coral and the fish species that live there. And Dion tells us, soils are part of the climate balance. They grow all the plants that absorb carbon through photosynthesis and the billions of microorganisms that live in them. And someone has found a way to regenerate them on a large scale. So how can soil be regenerated on a large scale? In Australia, Colin Sice developed agropastoralism, which is an inexpensive technique that alternates animal grazing and crop cultivation, which restores the natural cycle. In 15 years, all nutrients have increased by 160%, animal diversity has increased sixfold, and insect pests have virtually disappeared as their natural predators have reappeared. This method is now used on 2,000 farms in Australia. Extending this to the rest of the world would be a major step forward, because today agriculture is one of the most destructive forces affecting ecosystems and is responsible for 25% of greenhouse gas emissions. Transforming our agricultural models has become a major challenge. Some people believe that climate change cannot be resolved under the iron rule of capitalism and are trying to invent new social relationships. According to David Holmgren, who's the co-originator of the permaculture concept, and permaculture is often perceived as a form of organic gardening, but is much more than that. It is a model for sustainable agriculture that has an impact on economic organisation. The current system is based on erroneous principles such as everything has to be big and everything has to be organised separately to avoid conflicts. Permaculture says the opposite. It favours slow, small-scale solutions and the integration of different elements. This is how nature works, by integrating different elements into an ecosystem. Holmgren proposes introducing these principles by, for example, transforming residential areas deemed inefficient in terms of transport into food-producing areas, while maintaining a population density that allows for economic and social interaction. He proposes a social, resilient, local and collective organisation working towards a life of happy moderation. But transforming the world requires transforming the economic model. Isabelle Delannoy, a French environmentalist, argues for moving from a predatory to a regenerative, symbiotic economy. In this way, we could continue to build houses, cars, and so on, without destroying everything. In her view, all species contribute to regenerating the environments in which they live. How can we create a car industry that regenerates the soil? We need to think in terms of a diversity of parts that can be assembled, reassembled, and reused at least 15 times in cars and other equipment. By designing objects in a linked way, we can create incredible synergies. We can achieve synergies by renting and pooling rather than buying, by using parts that can be repaired and recycled, and by powering our factories with renewable energy. If we could only think in a connected way, then we could reduce the extraction of materials by 90% and allow nature to regenerate itself. By producing locally, we could regenerate employment and reduce inequalities. Since the 1970s, the city of Portland, Oregon, in the US has been trying to set up such a symbiotic system. Ecological transport has been developed that includes trams, subways, bicycles, scooters, self-service electric cars, and car sharing. And between 1990 and 2014, fuel consumption fell by one-third per person. This has led to annual savings of $1 billion in transport costs, which have been reinvested in local consumption. They have also planted on roofs, which slows down rainwater, prevents flooding, cools homes, and attracts birds. This greening of roofs is combined with solar panels. Local production has been revitalised, as has the reuse of second-hand objects. The aim is to create an alternative economy based on sharing and the use of common goods rather than extraction and exploitation. In Benin, West Africa, Songhai is a school for entrepreneurial farmers where they learn about integrated agriculture. Set up in 1985 by Dominican priest Godfrey Namujo, the school encompasses a completely self-sufficient university farm that far exceeds the usual yields in Benin. For Namujo, Songhai is a project for a new African society, and he says, "When we dance with nature, nature joins in. Everything is connected. The world is radically relational. The soil is alive. We're looking for synergy with bacteria. We're proud because we've produced ourselves. We've killed off poverty. Stop the suicidal trend in Africa, which is exporting its wealth and importing poverty." Some 20 Songhai farms have been set up in Africa, and this is regenerating society with a different vision of the world. And we're getting close to the end of the article. We won't be able to finish it, so I'll just go to the last two paragraphs here. Or maybe the last paragraph. Dion concludes, "Enlightened citizens can make complex public decisions and regenerate our democracies. Everywhere on the planet, men and women are building this new world. Because while the climate crisis is a threat, it is also an extraordinary opportunity to reinvent ourselves, to give new meaning to our lives and to our civilizations. It is up to us to create this new world, and it is happening now." So again, that was describing part two of a three-part television series by Cyril Dion. Well, I thank you very much for listening, and for more information, check out the website share-international.org. If you'd like a free copy of a previous issue of Share International magazine, email us at sharenz@yahoo.com and of course provide your postal address. You might also want to consider subscribing to the magazine. You can find information on the Share International website. Wishing you all a lovely week.